My name is Susan Glasser, and we are here in the Blackbird office to talk with Sally Bowring, who is a painter who is located in Richmond and has been working in the mode of abstraction for several decades. And she continues to find it an inexhaustible platform for her own ideas. And so we wanted to get her in front of the mic and talk a little bit about abstraction in the 21st century in general terms, and also to talk about her own recent work. So, Sally, welcome.
Thank you.
And the first question actually has a kind of long setup, so give me a minute on this one. Abstract art has been around so long that most of us have, at this point, stopped thinking about the word itself. And for me, the word abstraction, when I start thinking about it, is such an amazingly good word to talk about art with, because it can be an adjective, as in an abstract idea, and it can be a noun, like please write an abstract of this article, and it can also be a verb in the sense that abstract is to abstract something is to condense it. So it's one word that's a noun and a verb and an adjective, which in my mind is kind of exactly what art is also, and so marrying it with art is so wonderful. The term abstract, as we use it with art, typically means trying to depict something without pictorial representation. But the word abstract has so many other definitions, and I was wondering, I'd like to hear your thoughts on how several of those other meanings jibe with your own concept of what abstract art is.
I guess things like difficult to understand or obtuse are maybe one of the definitions of abstraction or a criticism of abstraction. I think that something as far as difficult to understand, it really implies an education. I think abstraction, or abstract paintings in particular, clearly can be looked at with an educated eye. And I'm hoping that people that look at my paintings are both from the general public and the people that are really in the field. And I paint to both of those audiences as well. I don't think consciously, but I think it's just my nature to.
Can you expand on that, your audience, you paint to people in the field?
Well, I've been in academia for over 20 years, and it would be coy of me to think that I'm not bringing all the things that I've read, thought about, and have taught in teaching painting to my own work. I mean, of course I do, and I'm very educated along those lines, and the work is loaded with things like that. And there are times that I actually make things, and I wonder, will someone like a Susan Glass pick this up? And yet I'm generous in my nature, and I want my paintings not only for one specific audience, but I want it for anyone that would want to look at work and maybe not know a formless device that I've used. And I don't really use devices, but I mean, a formless concern maybe. Or, you know, if they just want to look at it and they find it beautiful, or they find it interesting to look at, or they just want to go, you know. And that's important to me also. If it's difficult to understand, I think that, unfortunately, much art is difficult to understand. I don't think it's only abstraction. I think it's contemporary art in general. I think Matthew Bonney's just as hard to understand as any abstract piece. And it has been the problem and the irony almost of modernism and into postmodernism. Things like Malevich's white-on-white painting that was supposed to be for the public, you know, become so obtuse and oblique. So it's been the failing of modernism, and it's almost goes on, continues to fail in postmodernism, because so much of this art is also based on scholarship. And if we don't have that in our general education, a lot of this is going to be lost. A lot of maybe the actual meaning and reading of all of our contemporary art will be lost, but that doesn't mean that the general audience can't enjoy whatever they're going to enjoy out of it.
This is not something that you think is just germane to abstract
right. No,
painting.
No. I think it's inclusive of contemporary art. You know, if it's insufficiently factual, that's an interesting term. And I think that very good art should be insufficiently factual. I don't like didactic art. Again, it's a part of inclusiveness. It's letting the viewer have a piece of the action. It's allowing somebody else to find their own way in the art. And if you give too many facts and tell them exactly what it is, you know, the viewer will either like it or not like it, you know. But if it remains, and I'll use the word poetic here, or abbreviated, there are more windows and doors to get into the work for the viewer, and I think that's important.
reminds me of a critic for the New York Times, a movie critic who once said that it's the mediocre movie that leaves every question answered.
You know, it's the problem with what we suffer through every day. People watch TV, it's conclusive. It's all conclusive. And there's no other place to imagine things or find other possibilities with or broader meanings with. It's all given to you on a spoon-fed. And it doesn't foster a bigger mind somehow, you know, and mind in both ways, the mind and then mining the fields of information and association and imagination and things like that. Insufficient factual information is fine with me.
Where an artist may take that as opening up the door for dialogue with the viewer, I think many times the viewer sees it as being asked to do something that they're uncomfortable doing. Is that related in your mind to the perception that so many people have that abstract art is an elitist activity? Whereas you feel like you're being welcoming, they feel like they're being asked to do something that's beyond their familiar.
Made to feel stupid.
Yes.
It's very interesting for me because I teach painting at VCU, and there's so many people that, so many of my students feel like when they finally get to be a mature artist, then they'll make abstract work. And I keep saying, no, you don't have to. That's not the end game here. There is this notion, and it's a recent notion, and I think in my teaching in the past 5 years, this has come up. I mean, prior to that, there was almost no discussion about abstraction, and now it really feels like it's the prize. When you finally arrive at some place, you'll become an abstract artist. I think that abstraction has gone through such a funny passage, or, you know, it's gone from being, you know, the 50s where it was like the thing, you know, and it was heroic and it was tragic and it was sublime. And then it became almost decorative. You know, I remember seeing a show at Ronald Feldman in the early 80s, and the saddest thing in the world was having this art furniture and these abstract expressionist paintings behind them, truly as decoration. So you could see all these bodies rolling around over in their grave. You know, there was Gottlieb and, you know, and Pollock and, you know, and I thought, oh my God, you know, it's like putting the knife in. Now, it really doesn't have to come with any kind of huge baggage. And so it's become more of the landscape, more of all of the landscape. And I think it goes back to a whole sense of time. I don't think it's elite. I think that people want instant gratification. And maybe they understand pictures better than they understand marks or color. But odd bedfellows for abstraction. It's like the corporate world only wants abstract paintings. I mean, I'm not really sure what kind of statement that is, but they could sooner live with an abstract painting than they could with a figurative painting because they think it doesn't say anything. And, you know, abstract painting could be enormously subversive. I mean, all you have to do is hang out with it for a little bit longer, and then you'll be surprised. So I think it's a combination of lots of things. I think that people aren't willing to give anything time. It's hard for people to read books anymore, and it's, you know, and they want fast food and everything fast. And abstraction and Rothko painting, or even, and I'll be so bold to put myself in the same sentence as Rothko, I want people to stay there for a while. I wanted to slow it all down. And certainly Rothko painting is poetic and it's meditative. You just need to hang out with it, though, for a while and let it wash over you. I don't know if people are willing to do that. So I'm not sure it's elitism. I think it's about it's a time factor.
And people just are not willing to give the time to it that it requires.
Yeah.
Related to what you were just talking about, do you think that abstraction is a matter of faith, that is, that you have to believe in its communicative potential, or do you think it's something, it's about an objective truth? Do you have to be part of the game of abstraction, kind of to believe in it as something? Do you believe that abstraction is premised on an aesthetic construct or on universal truths?
Yeah, you know, in 2004, it's very hard to get very religious about things without sounding Pollyanna-ish or ridiculous almost. I mean, it's hard to like talk about such faith in things and that you kind of keep private in your own studio. And
Isn't it a shame that we can't be passionate publicly about things anymore?
I don't know what, you know, it went the way with the word liberal. I mean, I never understood when liberal became a dirty word and passion became ridiculous. But I don't think that you have to be part of the construct to really have the accessibility of an abstract painting. I honestly don't. I've had the honor of someone once crying in front of an abstract piece of mine, and she didn't know book is about art at all. Book is a technical term. And I really so touched, and it was a very poignant piece for me. It was about my first divorce and hopefully my only divorce. And that really taught me something. I mean, that really showed me something, that if you do something really from your heart, and I risk being a little too passionate, or that it translates onto this, you know, flat painted surface that someone can really pick up. I mean, I wound up crying in front of a Bryce Martin. It was a two-panel, two-color piece. I mean, there I am weeping, and I'm thinking, yeah, what's going on here? And yes, I'm probably more educated than the person that, you know, was crying over my piece just about art, but it touched me to a place that's far less intellectual than what I would normally come and look at a Bryce Martin painting with. I mean, it really touched my gut and my heart and my soul, and, you know, and I really wept, you know. So does that get us to universal truths? Maybe. It gets us a lot closer to universal truths than just an intellectual place.
Do you think that abstraction's potential, if it is in fact, can reach to some grander, more shared truth or knowledge, its potential to reify truth and beauty, do you think that's abstraction's reason for being, or is that just a fortunate byproduct? Mm.
I think the reason for being is really within the artist, the individual artist that's making the abstract work, because I think the abstract painting is a very, very broad, wide field, and there's all different kinds of abstract work, and especially in this time of pluralism. I mean, I wouldn't have said that 25 years ago even, but now the way abstraction does not carry the baggage it once had, and it has become far more personalized, I think that it really is almost a byproduct of the fact that it can happen that way. When I thought about this question for a while, I was thinking about not just abstract paintings, but abstract environments where people really have taken environments and done subtle things with color and subtle things with design, and how that can extend into one's environment, into one's living space, and how that would, you know, affect you, you know, totally affect you. And that I was like broadening out and getting off the canvas and maybe not into installation, but really into environmental living and the same things that would make an abstract painting, and not necessarily in the most gestural way, but in the more color-filled kind of way, would start all of a sudden affecting your whole environment. It could be that as well. I do think, though, that the whole issue of abstract painting really has become much more on a personalized scale. You know, and less of a kind of painting.
Do you think that that's because there aren't single movements? There's not the overwhelming cubist movement or abstract expressionism or whatever
right,
it might be
right, yeah.
That everybody's out there an island onto themselves?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and I think it's the positive side of pluralism. Of course, the other side of it is that you create very little criteria. I mean, everything becomes everything. I think that's the other side of the pluralistic coin, so to speak.
Expand on that. Is it the lack of camaraderie? Is it the lack of shared
focus? No, I think it's freedom. I think it's the freedom to go wherever you want to go in art history. I mean, I think a couple of things. I think that comes out of 30 years of MFAs or art schools, and all of a sudden, you know, you get into art school. Prior to like maybe 30, 35 years ago, it was a much smaller population that went to art school. And now you got so many people in art school seeing so much, I mean, so much of art history, and not only Western art history, now there's this whole global resource to pull from, and you want to try things. I mean, as an artist, you look at this and you look at that, and gee, I really like that, and it's like a big smorgasbord of possibilities, and the straps have been taken off more, or the restraints have been taken off that you can't do this or you can't do that, and, you know, everyone has broken every possible rule that you can break, including all the broken rules, you know. So the nature is to be, you know, to include everything and to bring everything in. And that's fine. It makes for very interesting work. But it's also, you have to reach almost each piece on, I find even teaching, I have to reach each student on an individual place, because you're not setting up this criteria that this is the way to do something. And so each piece of work, especially student work, has to work on its own. You know, it's good on its own terms. And I think that's the nature of pluralism.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Does it divorce the work too much? Does it? What place does history have at that table?
It has an enormous place, actually. I mean, initially, I think even 5 years ago, I had a tougher time with this. Now I just read more. You know, I just have to know more. I mean, I feel that that was my job. If once we're going to include so many other kinds of cultures and so many other kinds of ways of doing it, or so many other kinds of references, it was just my, okay, well, here's a bigger plate for you to eat from, you know. And I had to really work harder. You know, the nature of art is you have to just say, okay, I'm going to have anxiety for the rest of my life. That's just part of the animal, and that's that. And not know the answers. Or you'll know the answers for a fleeting moment. You'll get this glimpse into something, and then it's gone. That's the nature of being the artist, and that's the nature of making art. Having to pull from so many different areas, I think is fine. I think it's fine. You just have to change the way you approach things. You can't go with the way you used to approach a painting, even 10 years ago. You have to change your whole mode, you know, and that makes it interesting. And I don't know if it's better or worse. My nature is to be more inclusive, so I think it is. I think it's better.
I guess I get tied up with, coming from an art historical background, first of all, I have a more pronounced reverence for art history maybe than some contemporary artists do. But in all of the pluralism, because you can take it in any direction, you can combine things in any way you want to combine them, I think we end up creating such sui generis conversations or vocabularies within paintings that it does become so private that there's no room for anybody else, and you're talking to yourself, and I think that's a concern.
I think so, too. And that's why I'm personally happy to still be in the realm of abstraction, because there still is a big enough vocabulary to really keep talking about not only what I'm talking about, but in the context of a much broader discipline. It's still in the language of abstract painting.